At this time, I'd like to introduce a young cartoonist who has honored us by coming down all the way from Berkeley. He spends hours and hours at his drawing board, knocking out a strip called We Pals. Maury Turner. Have a hand. Maury is a member of the National Cartoonist Society. For those of you who have the recent issue of Cartoonist Profiles magazine, they have a very fine article on Maury. If you don't have it, I can give you the address where you can write to it. It tells all about his career. And Maury's strip, if you will, tell you what, I think I'm gonna go back and take it off the wall. We have one of his Wee Pals on the wall. It's a fairly new strip, and the syndication is not as wide as it should be. It has all the charm, all the humor, all the cleverness of Peanuts. It's about how old?
5 years.
It's 5 years old. He's been working on this for 5 years. And he has two paperback books that you may have seen on the market. We Pals. And see. Mark, would you get the We Pals original off the wall there?
He's got a black clear.
Oh, good. Great. Do I get the key to that?
Boy, sure.
It's a bird. It's a plane. You get it. It's super show. Thank you.
Now we got him.
Okay. Maury, would you like to say a few words to the fans? Just wondered how you got started in the business. Maybe we can start with that.
Well, I'm pretty excited because yesterday, part of the reason I'm down here, yesterday we just signed a contract to do a television deal for We Pals. So this is the first time, this is the first announcement I was able to make. I didn't tell you about that. Fall 71, I'm going the wrong way.
We want to know when I got started, right?
Yes. I got started, I think, about John Town, before, about your age, John. But We Pals started, I was lucky enough to meet Charles Schultz. I reside in the San Francisco Bay Area. And we were having a meeting in San Francisco in which Schultz was guest speaker. And the guys, cartoonists getting together, as cartoonists will, they began to kid Schultz a lot. I mean, one guy said that he was going to start a comic strip and call it Cashew Nut. Another guy, you know, the various nuts. They went through the whole thing. And I was the only black cat in the room. And I said, if somebody here says Brazil nut, I'm going to split. But the more I thought about it, the funnier it became. And then I set out, and I actually did a takeoff on Peanut using all black characters. And I played with that for about a year. I eventually sold it at Chicago Daily Defender. I don't know if you know that publication, and that's black. One of the two black dailies in the country, the other being in Atlanta, Georgia. However, I had misgivings about it because I had long been an advocate. I had long talked to my contemporaries about putting ethnic groups in their particular comic strip. And here I was, creating the same sin in reverse. So I, quote, integrated the strip. And then that was the smartest thing I could have ever done, because unlike most cartoonists, send their, like I was doing, send their material to syndicates, try to get published. Suddenly my phone rang, and I was asked by the syndicate, could we, could they go and go to the mass media? But then I was faced with suddenly trying to change the comic strip to de-emphasize the peanut, the flavor of the strip. But I decided later on that people kept saying, that's like peanuts. I said, no, it's like Maury Turner, you know. But then I realized, hey, that's not a bad thing after all. And that's I consider it a compliment. So I stopped worrying about it. With the exception of the dog, who I threw out of the strip, who was a Snoopy, only black. With the exception of the dog, the strip is pretty much the same as it began.
I'm going to let you ask the question.
Okay.
Maybe they could ask.
Do we have some questions from the audience? Yes.
Maury, when is your Sunday?
February. February this year. What a fantastic difference.
Great, wasn't it?
Oh, wow. Great for the pocketbook, too. there was a hand back there.
Well, I was going to ask you about the technique. I haven't seen the strip. I've been moving around. But how do you get away from drawing people's lines off the face like them? Like Schultz does with that whole Vigo City.
Yeah.
Line across the face.
Franklin. I was privileged to be in on that Franklin when he began, and he discussed it with me. He discussed it with me simply because he felt that he was invading my territory by creating Franklin. I said, well, I don't own black people. But I use a graphics paper, you know, with the tone already in. It's very expensive, but for my purposes, all the shading that I do, it saves me an awful lot of time. John? Do I production myself? Well, it's hard. It's very hard for me to set a schedule for myself. No, I'll do what I feel like doing. If I am on as a writer, in other words, if I'm creating gags and gags are coming, I'll drop everything else and do gags because that's the hardest thing in the world for me. But if I don't have any gags, then I'll go to work on the gags. Hopefully the gags I had yesterday. Yeah. On the end.
What
kind of voices? That hasn't been discussed. You mean for the animation? I was just happy to sign the contract yesterday. We didn't get into all that, dude. San Diego Union?
Can I answer that? This is up to the fans right here today. We are going to pass a petition around requesting the features editor to carry this strip. And if you want his strip in, please sign the petition. Those of you who are not from San Diego, but it's not carried in your local paper, as we've asked you in your program books, please write a letter to the syndicate, to the newspaper rather, asking them to carry the strip. Now, these people look upon letters from the public. In this respect, for every letter that they get, it represents about 100 people who feel the same way but don't write letters. So a single letter is very important. So write those letters.
Get out there and write, kid.
Maury, I didn't hear whether you said what studio
was doing. Rankin Studio of New York. I don't know too much about them. I know they got a bankroll.
If you work for the investment, for instance, you have a gag that you think is great in the newspaper, but the student says, well, that's too flat.
That was the hardest job we had. We used to turn out something like 10 strips per week in order to get 6 in. But in 1967, in November of 67, I went to uh, I went with Bill Malden, Bill Keane, Holly Schneider, Jack Tippett, and myself. We went to on that tour to Vietnam as we entertained the troops. And I was well in advance of my material and my work. So when I came back, I could no longer think in terms of the comic characters. I was thinking in terms of editorial characters. So I was getting very, very late, getting far behind on my schedule. So all these cartoons that they had rejected, I pulled them out and mailed them, and they accepted every one of them. And that was the end of the censorship between the syndicate and myself. So it was great.
Maybe you could go into
I don't know too much about the animated film. Tell us more about it.
All I can tell you is when. Fall of 61. 71. 61. I must be lying. Fall of 71, that's all I know. I can't tell you what it's going to be about or anything. That'll be totally up to the producers.
What's the name of the script? And do you know if the LA Times?
We passed. The LA Times carried it for about 6 months and dropped it back in 1965.
Yeah,
you can write them too, right?
We're passing one of Maury's originals around there. It's over there. It'll get to
what kind of audience do you think it would appeal to?
If my mail, if I can judge by my mail, I get mail from professional people and school teachers, librarians, doctors, psychiatrists. That psychiatrist thing. It's interesting. And bigots.
And what kind of work do you have to do?
None. We have the Louisville, Kentucky, and I don't know if you can really call that the South, the border state. That's as far as we've gone. We're in, believe it or not, we're in Africa, Zambia, Africa. Brazil, that's my wife back there. Maybe she can answer this question. Is it Brazil or, yeah, Brazil.
Yeah.
I don't know how they relate to this trip in those particular places, but.
What's your wife's
Lisa.
What?
Lisa.
Can we have a hand for the gal behind the van?
Lisa.
Do I get to ask a question?
Yeah.
When I was in New York in I think it was 67, the Vietnam trip.
Yeah.
Or 68 or something.
67.
Yeah.
November.
November, right. I had the pleasure of being at the Lambs Club for the briefing of the New York artists when they went over there. And it was quite an intensive briefing. They were going into areas where these guys had just come off the battlefield and were in the hospitals, and they really need cheering up. I wonder, Maury, if you have some experiences from that trip that you'd like to relate to the audience today.
Yeah, I lost 20 pounds. In 27 days, I think, when I say I lost 27 pounds, I mean 20 pounds, I'm not saying that facetiously at all. I'm saying that, and I'm not saying it had anything to do with the weather, which did contribute, but it had mostly to do with the emotion of the war. When I left, I'll admit I was a definite dove. When I came back, I was a pacifist. In between, the experiences of talking to freshly wounded the servicemen, guys who just lost an arm or a leg, it gets a little hairy. I wondered why they selected such an odd number as 27 days to stay there. Why not 30 days? But 27 days is just enough. I mean, one more day and all of us might have collapsed. Anyway. And we had, they took us into areas where we actually watched. And they were fighting for that hill, that famous hill. Well, we were at Pleiku, the hospital of Pleiku, and they were bringing in from the hill. And we actually witnessed them. Well, they were trying to show us how well organized they were. They were bringing in from the helicopters a room this size, and let's say the door was the landing strip. They would bring them in, and across the different walls were operating tables, 10 per side. And they would just bring them in, and a guy who's never seen an operation before to stand there and witness 10 to 15 operations, that's a little much. And then they take you to the mess hall for dinner and offer you liver. And but that was part of the emotion. It's just a little, was a little too much for me to take, frankly. After a while, you stopped being playtime and it became very serious. That was Bill King, who draws Family Circus, you know. Holly Schneider, who draws Eakin Meek. Jack Tippett, who draws, he's more noted for his magazine cartoons than his for his panel strip Amy. Willard Mullins, I think everybody knows Will, the world's greatest Brooks cartoonist. And who did I leave out? Oh, Bill Saunders, editorial cartoonist for the Milwaukee Journal. That was the group. A very good group together.
You mentioned when you came back from college, you had all these editorial cartoons.
Yeah. Yes, I did. I wrote an article for St. Joseph magazine, and I made on the spot sketches of, you know, servicemen and natives, etc. And which they used the article as well as the illustrations, and I drew some editorial cartoons for Ebony magazine. Ebony published, Black Rural published a few, and Ebony published the bulk of the material. Which part? Well, we were in all over South Vietnam. We were 30 miles from the DMZ at one point. We went north in Central Highlands. We were in Saigon 2 days. Unfortunately, Da Nang, Con Tu, all over. Yeah, where? Where were you there? We were there just before the. Do you remember when they, I wanted to call it an uprising, when they had the. Yeah, the Tet Offensive. We just got back when the Tet Offensive started.
You
have
to get out there.
Good.
Cartoonists are their artists more to do these courtroom scenes. But they're more political cartoonists than
They're more illustrators. They're illustrators.
But they have the feeling of the courtroom there, and they can put their own little ideas.
Yeah. I think when looking at John Tom's work today, it's really done. I think he could probably do it. I don't know if you have a feeling for courtrooms. Yeah, that's a different field entirely. Usually I don't know the entire field, but I know in San Francisco that they will hire guys from various areas. Some guys come right out of the agency to do that type of work. And they're well paid, very well paid.
What really got you into cartoons?
What really got me into cartoons?
Yeah, I read comic
books. Comic books. I'm a real comic. Still a comic book fan. Yeah. I believe that some of the comic books have disappeared. That code, the code was good. The idea of the code was good. But the reaction to the code was very bad. Yeah.
since you were in Vietnam, do you ever think you'll write political cartoons?
Well, I still do. There's a newspaper in San Francisco called Bay Guardian. Whenever I feel like a political cartoon, something feel like saying something that I cannot say in the comics so well, I have that opportunity. I don't do it very much because the pay is very small, but the satisfaction of getting something off your chest in this way is a great thing.
Do you feel the magazine
gag? Not this year. I haven't done any this year. No. I love the magazine gag cartoons, but I haven't done any since the Sunday started. I just haven't had
it. Finally,
I'll say. Judge my readership to be? I really don't know. We now have 62 papers? 62 papers on daily, and I think 11 on Sunday. So I really don't know.
Can you remember some of the cities you're in?
Yeah, well, York City, Chicago, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Dayton, Oakland, Palo Alto, San Rafael. I'm trying to think of Minneapolis. All right. Can you add to that? Oh, well. I'm not like Bill Keane who can rattle them off.
Yeah, I just, I told Maury before that I see his strip in the Chicago Daily News. I live in San Diego, Maury, but I subscribe to that paper. That's how my interest is in for these comic strips.
Hey, great.
And I know several other collectors, if their paper doesn't carry it, they get a mail subscription to an out-of-town paper, and I get it through the mail every day, so I don't miss it. That's another way of getting the strip.
Well, let's get it in the union. We don't have to.
We're gonna try to get it in the union, right. Let's see.
You've done both political and junior strips. Do you ever feel like doing an action strip? Adventure type strip.
I love the idea. I don't feel that I could handle it. I don't think that my. Well, I don't think I can draw that way like John. But he has a realistic style. It's been a long time since I've drawn anything real. Since the days when I used to copy the comic book that you brought up. I really don't. I think I'd have to rehash my whole thing.
Can we have one more question, and then Maury has to get back. Got a 12 o'clock deadline, quarter to 12. I'd like to get him to draw for us.
I have one. If you draw it, one of these how?
That's the best question. Yeah, sure.
Does anybody got a flare pen?
It's a dull copy of Nipper, NIPPER. Gets his name from a takeoff of the name Nipsey Russell. Nipper, as you might notice, wears a Confederate cap. And that's a little ridiculous if you think about it a minute. But he was introduced for a gag, one specific gag, a gag that said one of the kids looked at him with his Confederate cap and Confederate flag and said, obviously, American history is not a required subject of the kindergarten. An interesting story about Nipper. When we started this thing, someone wrote the syndicate saying, that no black man in his right mind would wear a Confederate cap. And he went on to say, we suggest that your cartoonist get to know a few black people. I was privileged to answer this critic. And I said, I do know two black people, my mother and my father. Right on. I'm going to show you. girl's name is Sybil. The reason that her name is Sybil, the characters had no names at all. And when we started, the syndicate said, give the characters names. So I went through trying to get a name. And 5 years ago, I don't know if you remember, well, it was 5.5 years ago, when Sybil Burton and Miss Taylor and they were having this big triangle thing. I said, Sybil, that's the name for me. Then I made a discovery. It's a pun, I know, but by calling her Sybil Wright, we really had something going. I put a few of them. Now, Sybil, of course, she wanted to become a black congresswoman and naturally write her own civil rights laws. And George, who happens to be Oriental, and George likes to quote Confucius. Not actually Confucius, late movie Charlie Chan is what it turns out to be. Now, when George learned of Sybil's desire to become a politician, he said that you should put marbles in your mouth, fill your mouth full of marbles. Spit the marbles out one at a time. And when you've lost all your marbles, you can become a politician. Rocky is an American Indian. Took a while to get him into the scene. And when Rocky was introduced to Nipper, he said, how pale face. Nipper said, son of a gun, a colorblind Indian. And I want to tell you about Randy, who more or less typifies what we're trying to do with the comic strip. Randy keeps a sign in his bedroom saying, remember NAACP. And George asked him about this sign. What does the sign mean? What is it all about? He said, well, whenever any of my classmates or my playmates get me a little upset, I come in and I read my sign. Remember the NAACP. And George said, well, how in the world can you read a sign that says, remember the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People and keep your cool? He said, because it doesn't mean that. It means, remember, never abandon adolescent Caucasian pals. And that's what the script is all about. If there's any other questions, so I can split, I got about 5-10 minutes. Okay? All right, thank you very much. Keep clapping while I take the picture, will okay?
Maury, can we bring your wife up and have a photograph of you next to the drawing here?
Okay.
We got to take a picture. No?
Eve Collier? Where is it?
Do you ever meet Buck Miranda, cartoonist of Playboy?
No, we are in correspondence, but we haven't met yet. I plan to meet Buck. He's great.
Did you read a letter about him or something complaining that he wants to...
Okay, another hand, folks.
I hope you'll all keep tuned for the fall of 71.
keep a lookout for Wee Pals, and tell your friends that you saw the man himself at the Comic-Con. Go out and buy his paperback book. If you haven't seen his strip, you can find it in the bookstores. It's called Wee Pals. I think there are two books out now.
One is Kid Power.
One is Kid Power. Thank you very much.